started this a while back, and I don't think we got past verse 1. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. John is very different, and the fact it's different is because of the time it was written following the Pauline revelation of the church. Well, Matthew, Mark, and John were written, there was no knowledge of the church. If you remember in Matthew, the ruler came up and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You can take the monitor off this if you want to. "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "You know the commandments. Keep the commandments. Thou shalt do no murder," over there in Matthew 19. But then in John, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." So it changed after the church was revealed that from that point on, it was by grace through faith plus nothing. Didn't involve the commandments. Jesus became the end of the law for them to believe. So I don't think I got to. We're going to pass verse 1 or 2. We're going to read down to verse 3. In John chapter 1, "In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Colossians 1, 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." A lot of times we forget that. We forget that that everything is by the grace of God. Everything that consists is by the grace of God. The breath that we breathe, God's still in charge. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. In him was life." I noticed the life being equated with the light. Who's in our room here this morning? About 2 years ago, someone had come out with a discovery that they'd made. Said when an egg is fertilized, there's a flash of light. They've detected a flash of light. Chemical light or whatever, when that life begins. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Just a little sidebar there, pretty interesting. You know, folks, well, you'll see those bumper stickers, "Back to the Bible." That Bible's so ahead of everybody else. It's something, you know. Finally said, "Well, that agrees with the Bible." Something like it all, you know. Man just hasn't had the knowledge to come up with what the Scripture has talked about forever. All right, let me keep on reading. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him was life." John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." He is the life of the world. He is the light of the world. He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." That back there in John 8:12, the last part of that verse said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." All right. John 9:5, the Bible says, "That for the Lord said, as long as I'm here, I'm the light of the world. And that's pretty wild. You know, when the church departs, we are here as the body of Christ. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We are representative of that body of Christ through the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. So we have that. And we think the world is crazy now. And it is. Just wait till that, until that moment when that church is raptured out of here, and what goes out with them is the Spirit of God. As far as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with the believer is concerned. So that restraining influence in men will be gone. You think it's crazy now, it gets crazy real quick, a lot more crazy when that restraining influence of the church is caught out of here. That's when it breaks loose, folks. My. Where was I here? In him was life. Life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This world has never gotten it. It just don't get it. Don't want to get it. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, the Bible says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Right, I want to look at Proverbs 8, Proverbs 8:22. Proverbs 8:22, the Bible says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he had prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, always rejoicing in him. Jesus Christ, he always was, he is God. He was in the bosom of the Father. And Jesus Christ is eternal. He, and as a sacrifice for us, he is an eternal sacrifice. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John, in verse 6. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Why was he witnessing? That folks would believe. At the end of the book of John, it says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. All right, Isaiah 43 says, speaking of John here, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, a prophecy here, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then in Malachi 3:1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, I read verse 7 there. Notice in verse 7, it said, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. notice it didn't say that the elect might believe, or that some might believe. He was witnessing so that all men would believe, that all men through him might believe. 2 Peter 2:3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How can someone get around that and try to come up with a plan that says when you're born you can't be saved because you're predestined to go to hell or to heaven? That's an unscriptural doctrine. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to be saved. St. John the Baptist said, all men through him might believe. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. For God so loved the world, not just a select, elect few. Thought I'd throw that in. He was not talking of John the Baptist, said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There it is again. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And Jesus said, well, it says in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. Said he would draw all men unto him. Not everyone responds. Everyone, you can overcome God's will with your will, or God has given us that we have a free will. I've pondered that in my heart. I don't know that God would respect the fellowship if he demanded it. He wants the whosoever wills. He wants those who want to choose him. All right, where was I here? That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. See, the world was made by, here it says, by Jesus Christ. Remember Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we see it was Jesus Christ doing the creating as God. Remember when they said, let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Talking about God's chosen people, Israel. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The ministry was first to the Jew. That ministry in the early gospel, Matthew, remember, it was a ministry to the Jews. He told that woman, said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jews rejected the Lord, and then he turned to the Gentile. Matthew 15:24 was that verse I said where the Lord indicated that his ministry was to Israel. All right, verse 11. He came unto his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now note, when one receives Christ, he's born again, renews that family relationship that Adam and Eve lost with God. The image was lost when Adam sinned. You remember that? Told Adam, the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. didn't die physically. His body lived on another 800 years. His soul didn't die because the scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So his spirit died. And that spirit was the image of God. And God withdrew it when Adam sinned. God couldn't have fellowship with that sin, that body of flesh. And probably, why the Lord does that spiritual circumcision, God can't have fellowship with that sinful body of flesh. So he cuts the soul and spirit loose. And he has fellowship with that new creature in Christ. Spirit-filled soul. When a man's born again, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is renewed. And that's a basis of fellowship. A soul and a spirit that's been renewed in the image of God. You get back what Adam lost spiritually. But you're tied to that body of flesh, even though it's cut loose from the soul and spirit. You've got to deal with it till the day you die, till you get a new body. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Everyone born before they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and trust in Christ, they have the wrath of God abiding on them that came down through their forefathers from Adam. And, of course, we've all heard it where, well, we're all children of God. We're all God's children. In a creative sense, that's true, but not in the family sense. You have to be born again to regain that family relationship with God that Adam and Eve lost. Where was I here? Verse 13. I'm in 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it comes through believing. Become the Son of God by believing on his name. You receive him by believing. Folks said, well, he received Christ. Well, you receive him by believing. Isn't that what that says? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, notice it speaks here of those who received him were born not of blood, nor the will of man, will of the flesh, but God. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now you'll get a lot of theological arguments over this thing about the blood. It appears that when this body gets raptured out, the blood don't go. Some claim that before Adam and Eve fell, it wasn't blood as we know it today. The blood was different. The plumbing system was different. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It was a blood that would last forever. Something happened. I don't know what. I've heard a lot of different things about it. We see that the Bible talks about the pure blood of the grape. Some think that the forbidden fruit might have been the grape. The Bible don't say. Because it represented the blood. So there's a lot of things that you can toss back and forth around that. But it says here in our text, those who receive him are born again, not of blood. They're born up by the Spirit of God. All right? In John 3:5, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now that identifies the water birth with a flesh birth right there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, interesting, in 1 John 5:7-8, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, notice that Word is a capital W. That's Jesus Christ was the living Word. My. And these three are one, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, capital S, and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Notice that it says here in this verse that it's neither is it, you're not born of the will of the flesh. You can't receive Jesus Christ by willing it. Oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. You can meditate till the cows come home, and it won't help you receive Jesus Christ. A lot of the Eastern religions, philosophies, a lot of meditation involved, thinking that will gain them fellowship with God. It says, not by the will of the flesh. Don't work that way. All the meditation in the world just won't make it happen. Verse 14. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh. That's Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now notice that God became one of us. He identifies with flesh. B.R. Lakin used to say that earthly kings born of royal blood could never identify with their subjects. But Jesus Christ took on the form of a servant. He became one of us, that he could identify with the struggle. He learned obedience through suffering. He identified with you. He identified with me. Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, watch it, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. There it is. Backs up what he said earlier. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My. Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, or he was before me. He always was, just as God said that I am that I am, Jesus Christ. It's always I am. He's always here, always will be here. Anytime, through time or eternity, Jesus Christ says, I am. Heavenly Father says, I am. Holy Spirit, I am. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. The glory of the Father and the Son. And John 17:5, Jesus speaking to his heavenly Father. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory, watch it, which I had with thee before the world was. He was there in the beginning. He was. Now, even though as many as received him became sons of God, there is just one begotten Son of God. Begotten of the Holy Spirit. What verse? Verse 14, 15. But John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that come after me is preferred before me. There speaks to his eternal existence. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Several years ago, a thing was brought out as to be the truth. The fact that an infant receives its blood makeup from the father. My doctor in Cincinnati, my primary care doctor, is also a hematologist. A blood specialist. So I asked him, is that true? And he said, yeah, I never thought about it. And then he said, yeah, that's right. So we see Jesus Christ was begotten of his heavenly Father through the Holy Ghost. Mary was virgin, but Jesus got his blood makeup from God. And it's, if you think about that, there is a lot of significance to that. There's a doctrine that is argued, different opinions on it, as there is in much of Scripture, about, it's called the impeccability of Christ. Could Christ have sinned? Well, His blood was pure. He didn't have the sinful nature. The DeHaan, was it M.R. DeHaan and was it Richard DeHaan, the other DeHaan back in the 60s that wrote that book, Could Christ Have Sinned? Interesting book. But his blood was pure. And our inheritance is not from our sinful father, Adam, but when we were born again, we took on the purity of Jesus Christ, his purity. God stresses the fact that Jesus Christ is the only person physically begotten of God. He quotes this statement from the Psalms again. And in Acts 13:33 and Hebrew 1:5, verse 15, his eternal existence and deity. Now, verse 16 says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. On this fullness thing, Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm not real sure about this grace, for grace. I have written down it's grace that's inexhaustible and sufficient to meet every recurring need. There's different kind of grace. Whatever your need is, that's a kind of grace, and I'm not sure I understand all that. You get differing opinions on the grace for grace term there. Verse 17, he says, for the law was given by Moses, watch it, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All right, the law was given. Notice it was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law condemned man in relationship to God's holiness. Man was condemned by the law. The law allows you to recognize your sinfulness and become the schoolmaster to point you to Jesus Christ. But grace and truth came in the person of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So as a born-again believer in Christ, we do not get our righteousness from the law. Law is good, it's pure, it's holy. Christ didn't came to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. But we do not get our righteousness as the Jew did from the law. God told the Jew, you keep the law, you keep the sacrifices, and I'll count it to you for righteousness. They were held blameless, ended up in paradise because they couldn't go to heaven because the sin debt had not been paid. They couldn't go to hell because they did what God told them to do with the law and the sacrifices. So they ended up in paradise until the sin debt was paid. The law manifested what was in man, sin. That's what the law showed us. And grace manifested what God was all about. Love and truth. And the law demanded righteousness. Righteousness for man, and grace, instead of demanding righteousness from man, grace brings righteousness to man. Webster defines grace as the unmerited favor of God. The law sentenced living man to death. Paul said, for by the commandment, the commandment slew me. Sin revived. The law speaks of what man has to do for God. Grace tells us what God does for us. The law gives the knowledge of sin, and grace offers the putting away of that sin. Law and grace. Great Texas preacher Lester Roloff had a famous message, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Thank God for Dr. Grace. Outrageous. The law brought out God to man, and grace brought men to God. My. Verse 18, it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus Christ declared the Father. Told Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this verse kind of terminates the introduction of John's Gospel and kind of summarizes the whole of the first 18 verses here in John 1. And it speaks of the intimacy of the Holy Trinity of God. And this verse don't say which was in the, it don't say which was in the bosom of the Father, but the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father. He's always is. I am that I am. Always in every age, every dispensation. In the past, the person of God was unmanifested. People still had the witnesses of creation and their conscience, but the person of God was not manifested until Jesus Christ showed up. No man hath seen God at any time, but now the Son hath declared him. Jesus Christ, the visible image of the invisible God. God manifest in the flesh. And the Word became flesh. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to stop there right now. I'm trying to lose my voice this morning for whatever reason. But we'll continue this on another day. What a book. What a book. I love the book of John. Most people will tell new Christians to go to the book of John, read it first. Others say 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Anyone ever heard that? It said that's easier to settle a new Christian on their salvation. And that a lot of this in John is a little too technical and deep and theological. I don't know about that. But so much in that book, you study it and God will reveal things to you. He'll reveal something to you every day. You stay in His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You for today, Lord. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You for Your snow and Your rain and whatever You send us, Lord. Let us glory in Your creation and Your wonderful works. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.